Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. I will post a link to Mike's Twitter account below this interview. Now, Mike, I wanted to bring you on shortly after the inauguration, as that is now, I guess we can say, safely behind us. And we really do need to look ahead in terms of how the market and different sectors are going to react to what the Biden administration manages to enact. And it sounds like some stuff enact very early on. Now, the fact of the matter is, it seems like when it comes to a monetary standpoint or monetary policy standpoint, we are still going to see a very accommodative government, and that ties in with a Fed, which we will hear from next week. But how important is monetary policy going to be with this new presidency?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a great way to kick things off. Obviously, this is a pretty important, monumental transition. You know, we've had these years of love them or hate them. It's clearly obvious that during the Trump years, there was a lot of chaos, a lot of, you know, whipsaws on Wall Street and in Washington and at Main Street, for that matter, trying to figure out what was going to happen next and so on. I think now you're transitioning to an administration that's going to be more clear cut, more straightforward, more traditional, whatever sort of term you want to use to characterize it. But that also has a lot of different policies and sort of things that it wants to do versus what we saw under the Trump administration. So we can talk about that in a little bit, but I think it's great that you brought up the monetary issue at first, because let's be honest, as different as Trump and Biden may be, as different as the aims of the Trump administration and the Biden administration will be, when it comes to monetary policy, they're basically the same. I mean, Trump's administration and when the Republicans were in power wanted cheap, easy money. The Biden administration and the Democrats in power want cheap, easy money. You know, there's no pressure, no like desire really to change the course of what the Fed is doing. They just want, you know, to continue to print and underwrite the borrowing and spending that the government's doing. So neither party has any sense of monetary policy restraint or prudence or anything that you know, you may have seen many years ago. So from a Fed standpoint, we should just expect the taps to continue to be held open when it comes to things like QE. We should expect interest rates to continue to be pegged to the floor for a couple of years at the very least. And what that means, essentially, for Wall Street is the free money bacchanalia is going to continue under the Biden administration. And Wall Street knows it. I mean, that's why, you continue to see things like the dollar trade lower. You continue to see, other bets, Bitcoin and things like that are sort of anti-money printing bets or ways to preserve wealth do very well. And I don't think that's a wrong trade. I think that's exactly the kind of thing you want to be sticking with, in the Biden administration, just like you did that in the Trump administration. So, of course, that would also incorporate things like gold, silver, and precious metals mining shares, which, you know, may have had a rough go of it for a few months as interest rates rose. But now that we're in the Biden administration, you know, there seems to be another little bit of a sign of life and a turn in some of those stocks and the underlying metals. And I would absolutely be on board with that because, again, I think the monetary policy standpoint, the approach is not going to change whatsoever.
So it sounds like as well, you don't think that the easy money or all this money that will be created is going to land in different hands. The government, the administration isn't going to be able to make that happen. Hey, it is a lot going to just end up on Wall Street.
Yeah, you know, I think Wall Street's going to be a clear beneficiary, and the winners, the sectoral winners, if you will, the parts of the economy that are going to benefit are clearly going to be different because you're underwriting different fiscal priorities. For example, if you go back to the early stage of the post-Trump election victory, what types of sectors did very well? Defense, for example, because Trump was promising to spend a lot of money on defense. Financials, on the idea that the yield curve would steepen, the economy would grow quite a bit because of tax cuts, and we'd also have less regulation. But if you look at now, the kinds of sort of sectors that have been doing very well ever since the blue wave and that are really ramping up in just the immediate aftermath of the inauguration, it's things like clean energy. It's cannabis that's been doing very well. It's some of the infrastructure names out there. It's a lot of the things that are going to benefit, and retail for that matter. When you're putting a lot of money into Main Street's hands, whether it's through different tax credits or whether it's due to, you know, upping the stimulus from $600 to $2,000, whether it's due to, big spending aimed at, again, clean energy, a power grid getting away from carbon-based fuels and so on, all that stuff, all those things going on, the market knows that that's coming, that this is going to be a money flood. and the recipients of that are going to be different than those you had in the early months and quarters of the Trump administration. So Wall Street is clearly getting ahead of that. So again, I mean, I think there are ways to position yourself to capitalize, regardless of whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea. As investors, you just simply have to be opportunistic and just sort of bury your own political feelings or economic leanings or whatever, and try to make the most of the opportunities that are going out there because the people in power are pushing them. So those are the kinds of sectors and names that, in the Safe Money Report, for example, there's a few names that I've been recommending in those sectors, and they're doing very well, and I think should continue to do well as the year unfolds.
So it sounds broadly very much a move into commodities still. Yes, I guess some of these, I guess, not so clean commodities, those might lag. But broadly, is it fair to say that it is a commodities focus then with this upcoming big stimulus?
I think certainly commodities, transportation, some of the other, industrial type names that are in, niches that are going to do well from greater fiscal spending. Yeah, I think that, when you're throwing money at the economy and the markets, and when you're sort of looking at the nitty gritty and which parts of the economy are going to be benefiting the most from this, there's certainly opportunities created by that. Now, of course, all this fiscal largesse brings with it longer term, problems for the country as a whole. I mean, the Trump administration was terrible with debts and deficits itself. And now if you thought things were bad in terms of the growing debt load during Trump's administration or growing deficits then, you ain't seen nothing yet compared to what's going to happen under the Biden administration. I mean, none of this stuff only a small amount of this stuff is going to be paid for by things like raising taxes on the wealthy or, taxing foreign corporate earnings and things like that. Some of the stuff Biden's talked about. So the debt and deficit numbers are just going to balloon over the next couple of years. And again, the economic thinking guiding that, that's what Democrats that are already in positions of power will be soon, or even outside Democratic voices that are, followed by the administration, are all pushing for it. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers a little while ago did a big webinar with another guy that worked under the Obama administration. They wanted a quote unquote revolution in thinking. Stop caring about deficits, stop caring about debts, basically push MMT. You saw a similar approach from Janet Yellen recently, only a couple days ago in her Senate or her Congress testimony, where she said we have to, quote, act big, forget debts, forget deficits. It doesn't matter. Just throw money out there. And again, these are going to bring with them long term consequences that we can't forget. But in the here and now and in the immediate and intermediate and short term future, what does Wall Street want? It wants free money. What is it going to get? Free money. So as an investor, you don't want to stand in front of that. You want to find ways to be opportunistic and profit now. And then as the market begins to show that it's starting to care about the downside, that's when you reposition. But I don't think that's a story for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. Whether you like it or not, you do need to follow where all this money is going to go. And really, it was mind-boggling to me to read over some of Janet Yellen's recent comments regarding, let's not think about the deficit, let's spend. To me, that you don't hear that from a Treasury secretary. That's mind-boggling to me.
No, it is absolutely, again, it's absolutely a different economic and philosophical approach. And it's something that, especially after an era of very, very low or near zero interest rates, Washington thinkers, economic thinkers are lulled into a sense of security because rates have been so long, because the bond market's been so acquiescent for so long. It's always going to be that way. That's kind of the thinking that's permeating Washington. And again, it's not going to ultimately work down the road. But, between here and there in the short and intermediate term, again, as an investor, you always have to, I always try and tell myself as an analyst or coach myself and make sure I'm following my own, principle that you have to invest for the world and the environment that you have, not the one you may want. And I think that's a very important lesson for investors to take to heart. You may think what the Fed's doing is wrong. You may think what Congress is doing is wrong. But, until they put me on the Fed or, I win a seat in Congress and can actually influence policy, my job is to just help people make the most of the environment we have. And I think some of those sectors and some of those things that I mentioned earlier are absolutely what you want to be focused on for now and for the foreseeable future.
How about foreign policy, too? Obviously, Trump was all over China, and even Biden said he's not rolling back any of these policies, at least immediately. How do you see foreign policy either differing or being similar to what we just went through with Trump?
I think the sort of simmering or nascent Cold War II that we had, that, you know, started with China and the Trump administration, is going to continue into the Biden administration to some degree. I mean, I think both Republicans and Democrats aren't happy with a lot of things that China's done, whether it's on sort of a, you know, with its own some of its own residents, and, you know, threats about genocide and things like that, whether it's the impact that cheap Chinese labor has on labor unions here in the U.S., whether it's, you know, there's all kinds of things and geopolitical issues that we're having in terms of, you know, sort of pressing back with China and them building bases in the South China Sea and all that. You know, that's not just a Trump or Republican issue. The Democrats and some of the traditional Democratic power bases aren't happy with China either. So I don't think we're going to see any kind of detente really there. It's going to be more of an issue with things like, you know, other parts of the globe, Europe and so on, that relationships got extremely frayed during the Trump era, are going to be repaired during the Biden administration. So you're going to see some, you know, some cooling of the tensions that some of our traditional allies that we had with them, Canada and Europe and so on. That's where you're going to see more of an impact. But I think in terms of China, there's going to continue to be this sort of simmering tension, flare-ups, whatever you want to call it, in the next couple of years, regardless.
Yeah, it sure seems like that. I also want to talk about a sector that you and I haven't talked too much about, and that's the cannabis sector. Because of Biden being in power and having that so-called blue wave, there could be some easier regulations around cannabis in the U.S. We all saw what happened in Canada about maybe three years ago, when the stocks just exploded ahead of the broad legalization. Is that a sector that you think could experience just monumental growth now with this presidency?
You know, absolutely. I think that, again, just like a clean energy theme, and just like, you know, to some degree, well-positioned infrastructure companies, cannabis companies, select ones, are definitely positioned to capitalize on this. There's been a gradual loosening of sort of thought and on Main Street, the attitudes towards cannabis over the years. Now you're going to have that additional political ability to, you know, potentially on the federal level, change policy the same way many states already have. So, yeah, I think that, you know, you look at, I mean, again, there's some fly-by-night companies out there. There's some companies that you don't want to have anything to do with. But I think broadly speaking, that's another sector that is poised to really, you know, as broader legalization and legislation occurs potentially at the federal level, that's a sector that's certainly poised to benefit, as this, you know, is going to likely be a priority of the new administration.
So, Mike, does this mean that investors broadly really just need to stay invested? I know how crazy that sounds because of these euphoric sentiment levels that we're seeing and these markets not really caring about still a spike in COVID cases broadly in North America, that if you're sitting on cash, you're going to be a loser again under this administration?
You know, I think certainly, you know, I've been in the Safe Money Report the last several months. I've been getting more aggressive in terms of the amount of money that's invested versus in cash, and rotating the different kinds of sectors and names that we're invested in. And that's worked out very well. I think that investors clearly want to continue to be more aggressive than they were a year ago at this point, or even a year and a half ago. At the same time, you are right that there are some sentiment indicators that are kind of in the yellow zone, if you will, when it comes to, are you still in a bull market mentality, or are you in a euphoric mentality? You know, I'd say we're pretty far into bull market mentality, and we're bordering on euphoric in select stocks and sectors. So there's yellow warning signs out there. But again, you know, you don't want to stand in front of a tidal wave of money coming at you, or whatever sort of metaphor you want to keep in mind. I mean, it is truly a money flood. And that is something that, again, you can position yourself to benefit from, regardless of whether you think ultimately it's good or bad policy down the road. So, yeah, I think that this is a time where if you keep that safe money approach in the back of your mind, you're not just, you know, buying every SPAC that Wall Street dumps on Main Street investors. You're not, you know, buying into all these EV companies that don't even have a single business or a penny of revenue, and they claim they're going to, you know, make a Jetson car 10 years down the road. We're all going to fly around in. There's companies like that, and there's stories like that that you need to stay away from. But there are certain, there are a lot of ways to win if you're smart about it. And I think that that's still kind of the attitude you want to have, at least in the early quarters, several months to a few quarters of the Biden administration.
All right, final comment and sector that I want you to discuss. It comes down to the oil sector in the U.S., simply because Biden, it's already being reported that he's expected to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline on the first day in office. So potentially today he might be canceling that. Is this going to be a broad move against the underlying oil sector?
You know, it's a sector that, because of economic reasons, wasn't doing very well in the back half of the Trump administration. And it's a sector that's certainly not going to get any love in the Biden administration in terms of their policy approach. I mean, they want, you know, to get away from a carbon fuel dominated world, a world where, you know, whether it's oil or even natural gas or some of these other things, they want it to move to that clean energy, renewable resource type environment. And so, you know, it doesn't mean you won't have tradable rallies, and it doesn't mean that if the economy picks up for a while due to stimulus, you're not going to see, you know, energy benefit from that. But I think that it's more going to be a sector that continues to underperform, and it's going to, you know, just be, again, a sector that's not going to benefit all that much from stimulus. You can certainly find other places that are going to benefit a lot more. So while I don't think, you know, we're going to go back to $0 oil or anything like that, like we had back, you know, several months ago, I certainly don't see it as being a great way to play what's coming in the early quarters or year or two of the administration.
All right, Mike, always great chatting with you, buddy. And thanks for sharing your broad thoughts on a number of different markets in terms of how this new administration is going to impact markets. The real takeaway being there's going to be a continuation of a lot of easy and free money out there. And we all know where that historically lands, and that's financial markets. Mike, thanks for your time, bud. I'll chat with you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.